On today's show, the Milwaukee Bucks have a new head coach, Adrian Griffin, in the process of organizing a deal, according to multiple reports. Beat out Nick Nurse and Kenny Atkinson in the final three. He met with Giannis in his own home. There's plenty to discuss about this decision and what it might mean moving forward as well. They had two experienced head coaches. They went with the first timer. That's fascinating. Let's talk about it.
Backs him down. Giannis into the lane. Giannis spinning. Fading shot. Up. Good for Giannis at the buzzer. Bucks win it.
I locked on Bucks. My name's Kane Pittman. You can see and hear me on this show Monday to Friday and also find my work over at ESPN. Alongside me, the founder of brewhoop.com and longtime voice of the podcast, Frank Manning, for today's show that's brought to you by the Game Time app. Create an account and use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We thank everyone for making Locked On Bucks your first watch or first listen Monday to Friday. And also on a Saturday afternoon when the Bucks decide to hire a new head coach. I was at a cafe. I was getting a coffee. I was getting some lunch. Frank, you were out for lunch as well. And we decided we better knock this out on a Saturday afternoon, which probably helps with the time zone because right now in Australia, it's 5:30 a.m. on a Sunday. So I would have been waking up to this news in several hours. So it's pretty handy to be in the same country for this. But we appreciate the support. We know a lot of people are going to be fascinated about this hire and certainly have their opinions. So drop a comment, a like, subscribe, follow, and all those things on Locked On Bucks because it's about to get pretty interesting, I reckon, over the next few weeks and leading into free agency. Frank, Adrian Griffin. Now, I'm glad that I had the podcast with Camille a couple of days ago. I said, look, if you're looking at where the Bucks franchise are at, whether they want an experienced head coach, maybe Adrian Griffin would be the bringing up the rear of these three candidates. Then yesterday, we obviously brought up, as a lot of our listeners wanted to talk about, this idea of Giannis being an advocate for Adrian Griffin. So the Bucks go with Griffin, and even though he is going to be a first-time head coach, a couple of years in Milwaukee, 6 years in Chicago, he was in Orlando, a couple of years in Oklahoma City, and actually the last 5 years under Nick Nurse. So as far as assistant coaches go, this is a long, long resume for Adrian Griffin. But what was your first reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly was assuming it was likely to be Nick Nurse or Kenny Atkinson going into the process. Just, you know, obviously Griffin stands out for being the lone guy without any head coaching experience out of the final three. So, you know, I think we've talked about it. Like, it's hard to project how any coach is going to fare in a new, you know, in a new city with a new roster. It's, I don't want to say impossible, but it's even harder to do that with assistant coaches where we don't really know, you know, what Adrian Griffin stands for in terms of, you know, does he like to do, is he going to want to play the way Nick Nurse and the Raptors played the last few years offensively, defensively in Toronto, because he was there, right? It's the same sort of discussion that we had around Charles Lee and what is Charles Lee going to look like as a head coach after spending so long with Bud, like what makes Charles Lee his own man? What makes Adrian Griffin his own man? It's hard to say, right? All we can do is kind of, you know, take context clues, speculate based on his background. You know, I think certainly he's had a long career starting as an NBA player, right? He was a very much a defensive first NBA player. The perception, at least from what I've read, is that he's similarly, you know, a defensive oriented guy as an assistant. And of course, that is interesting because I think, you know, you've gotten into it with me. You've had discussions with Camille and Justin on previous podcasts where we've been discussing ad nauseum, you know, what the approach should be on this coach. And, you know, do you try to get someone who has more of an offensive focus? Because defensively, you probably should be able to be a pretty good defense regardless, yeah, just based on the talent level and the foundation of the system that that Mike Budenholzer built here over the past 5 years. So, this does not, I mean, again, like, does Adrian Griffin have some really interesting offensive ideas that he's developed over the years? Maybe. I hope so. Is there something else they're going to do as far as bringing more of an offensive assistant in to work with him. Maybe we'll see. But certainly this felt like kind of, I don't know if doubling down on defense is the right word for it. But kind of going sort of more towards kind of what has made the Bucks successful over the years versus trying to, you know, zig in a way that they've previously zagged, right? I think that was always the thought. I think with someone like Nurse, known as more of that sort of tactician, a guy that can, you know, go, you know, tit for tat with other coaches in a playoff series. Again, that's largely based on, you know, not the last few years, because basically they haven't even made the playoffs other than that one year where they got bounced quickly 2 years ago in Toronto. You know, again, this feels like more of a, you know, a couple things, right? A guy who's sort of he's a known, somewhat of a known quantity to John Horst, because when John Horst arrived, I think in 2008, Adrian Griffin also was here for 2 years under Scott Skiles. So there is at least some baseline of familiarity between John Horst and Adrian Griffin. And then obviously we had heard the speculation that Giannis Antetokounmpo also liked Adrian Griffin. What that means for Giannis's opinion of the other coaches, we don't really know. I know we had speculated about, you know, Nick Nurse in particular, and whether he was someone that Giannis would like, whether it should matter that Giannis, like, you know, would come in maybe with not being excited about him, whether, you know, Nick Nurse could win him over, whatever it might be, right? I don't know how qualified Giannis is to kind of make decisions about coaches, but his opinion is extremely important, regardless of whether or not he's qualified to do that, because he's obviously he is the franchise. He's got 2 years plus an option year left on his contract. He's eligible for another monster extension this coming fall, which we've talked about. I don't think he has any incentive to really sign it at this point, regardless, but maybe, and I don't think there's any like tacit agreement that signing Adrian Griffin means that, yeah, that was Giannis's guy and Giannis is now going to sign that additional extension this summer. I can't imagine that they, you know, have that agreement. Hey, it would be great for the Bucks if they did, but I imagine those are two separate things. I think again, I'd say it's riskier, just in the sense, certainly from the outside, we have less of a sense of what he's going to be like as a coach, whether he is ready to do this. I think probably just looking at some of the reactions from people around the league, a lot of people think he is ready for this. You know, Fred VanVleet, his former player, was very excited for him. You know, people that I think are have known him seem to be very excited about him getting this opportunity. But again, just because you're a great assistant doesn't mean that you're going to be good as a head coach in this league. And, you know, I think as you and Justin were talking about the other day, Bucks don't have like room to have like a mulligan season as like a new guy figures out how to be an NBA head coach. You got to, you know, Justin said it on Friday, you've got 2 years, basically. You got 2 years that you definitely have Giannis. You can have Giannis under contract. You've got, you know, 2 years basically likely of Drew, depending on what he does with his player option. Hopefully you have more than that with Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez if they re-sign this summer. But those guys and their aging curve, like, you know, I think the dip is likely going to happen with this roster, regardless of how Giannis evolves as he ages, over kind of beyond the next 2 years. So you basically have that 2 year window, and whoever you bring in pretty much needs to come out and make the most of that window over the next 2 years. And whether Adrian Griffin is that guy beats me, because certainly he wasn't the guy that, from my distant view, you know, as a fan, as an observer of this league, I certainly didn't know enough about him to make a call like that. But obviously there were a lot of conversations over the past couple of weeks. He got to the finals for a reason, and obviously he's now the head coach of the Bucks for at least one good reason, and hopefully more.
So we did a poll on the Locked On Bucks YouTube channel a couple of days ago, just with these three names, to try and get a temperature check of certainly our viewers on YouTube anyway. Over 700 votes on that poll from 5 days ago. Nick Nurse, 69%. Nice. Kenny Atkinson, 26%. Adrian Griffin, only 6%. And I think part of that is because when we talked about the risk factor and the balance of the franchise and where it is, I think you're balancing, well, what do we actually know? We haven't seen any results. You had one win in the bubble, we haven't seen Adrian Griffin run his own team. So because of where this team is with lack of flexibility, the Giannis contract situation, it probably leans the franchise into going a little bit safer. Now, they haven't done that, and part of me likes that. And I do find it fascinating, though, that all of this reporting is leaning into the idea that Giannis met one-on-one with Adrian Griffin. So I want to get to that next, because I think it is fascinating the timeline that we're seeing in some of these reports from Shams and, of course, our good friend Eric. So let's talk about that situation coming up next after we talk about the Game Time app, our sponsor of the show today. If you're looking for last-minute tickets, there's only one place to go, and that is Game Time. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, whatever it is you need to do. You can get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, and they're sent directly to your phone, which is pretty handy. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Create that account. Use the redeem code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Obviously, a big day for the Bucks today, and we appreciate everyone jumping on the weekend to listen to this podcast. We'll be back next week as well, so make sure as we continue to follow up on, I'm sure, stories and reports that are going to continue to come out from this process. This is the immediate reaction, but we appreciate the support. Drop a like, drop a comment, let us know your thoughts on the hire, which is about to become official, I would imagine, in the next day or so, of Adrian Griffin. So as I was reading this report from Shams and Eric over at The Athletic, the timeline was fascinating just in terms of how news gets out and how the story is portrayed. Because if you're picking a completely untried coach that the fans might look back and say, gee, that's a risk, how do you make it better? Well, you're like, well, this was Giannis's guy. And that was obviously the report that we heard 2 days ago. So from this report, all the candidates were able to meet up with Giannis at his house on the Tuesday night. So they have a one-on-one, or whoever else is there, I'm not sure. On the Wednesday night, the owners get together, I assume with John Horst. Then on the Thursday night, there's a dinner where everyone's together, including Chris Middleton is there, which is also fascinating.
Well, he was invited. I think all we've seen is that Chris and Giannis were invited. I don't know if that means that they were invited and one or both didn't show up or what. But yes, this symbolic nature of inviting Chris in particular, given that he's, you know, likely going to be opting out and being a free agent, should not be lost on us, right? Drew Holiday, was he not around? I don't know, right? You can kind of probably twist yourself in pretzels thinking about it, but definitely notable that those two guys were invited.
So out of that information that we've got initially after this news, and again, I spoke about it with Justin yesterday, clearly, for a number of reasons, Giannis needs to speak to this new head coach and hear some stuff that he likes and work together and probably come up with some exciting new ideas, I assume. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Adrian Griffin didn't come in and sound exactly like Mark Budenholzer in how he wants this team to operate. Like, there's going to be some new exciting stuff, I would imagine. So the fact that Giannis is, you have to assume, is on board with Adrian Griffin makes you feel at least a little bit good. Now, as you pointed to, what do we know about his decision-making? I don't know, but it's a good way to start the relationship if Giannis gets along with Adrian Griffin. So what stands out to you out of that reporting in terms of at least the last week of how this has played out?
I mean, I think Nurse is probably the most interesting kind of piece of this, because I think there was, you know, I know we were chatting about, I mean, there were kind of like varying whispers, some reported, some, you know, in the background of, you know, kind of like the Bucks, dark web or whatever, of, you know, was Nick Nurse offered the job? Is, you know, Nick Nurse, like, I think there was a report, like, I forget, maybe keep me honest here, of like who said it, that there was not consensus support for Nick Nurse in the organization about moving forward with him. And it kind of gets back to, you know, something that we talked about like a few weeks back, which is, I always just had this feeling like, man, Nurse just like, just something about him, like with the personality stuff, the friction that he's had with players, front office, et cetera. He was always the guy that I thought like, man, he does not feel like, for better or worse, like a Bucks hire. Like, I just doesn't seem like he's the guy that John Horst is hiring to be his partner to work with over these next critical, you know, couple years at least, right? You know, obviously the coach is going to get a longer contract. Nick Nurse is not leaving for, you know, less than a 4-year contract, potentially 5-year contract, right? He's expecting a lot. But there was something about it, just, I don't know, it just always felt like he might be a guy that just culture fit wise just like wouldn't be there. And that isn't necessarily just a knock on Nick Nurse. That could also be a Bucks problem, not just a Nick Nurse problem. So I was encouraged that he got to the three finalists, because I thought, maybe the Bucks would have some misgivings about him and some of the stuff that came out of Toronto. Maybe he's too big of an ego, or maybe he would not feel like it's a fit and not want to become the head coach of this team. Maybe that's what happened, right? This over the past week, right? You know, we don't know the financials of what may have been implied that Nick Nurse might have been paid, whether there was an offer or no offer to him. He could have also just felt like, you know, I'd rather go coach Kevin Durant in Phoenix, or I'd rather go team up with Daryl Morey, who he knew from his time with the Rockets organization prior to going to Toronto. I'm fascinated to see where Nick Nurse lands. I feel like he's going to end up with one of those two head coaching jobs. It would be fascinating if he doesn't get one of those jobs, because then it would certainly imply that, you know, he wasn't just saying like, I don't like the Bucks job. Maybe that it was more also a mutual thing, or the Bucks perhaps, you know, deciding that maybe he wasn't as good a fit. So it's kind of hard to say, but you could definitely see Nick Nurse feeling like he would be entitled to one of these jobs more so than, you know, an Adrian Griffin or a Kenny Atkinson, who really would need to fight and claw and impress everybody to have a chance at any of these jobs. So it's hard to say. I mean, I think I would have been most excited about Nurse, then second about Atkinson, and least about Griffin. And I'll go into another reason why I have pause about the Griffin hire, but to me, it's like, if Nurse could have come out of this process having impressed everybody, won everybody over, to me, that would have been the most exciting outcome, because that would have addressed, I think, some of my misgivings about him and the personality stuff that we heard coming out of Toronto. But again, you know, in the absence of more details, perhaps those exact same things that we thought might have kept him from getting his job in the first place ultimately, you know, led him or the Bucks or both sides to feel like it wasn't a fit. And instead they get Adrian Griffin, who I'm sure is going to be cheaper than Nick Nurse. How big of a factor was that for the Milwaukee Bucks? I don't know. But I think the other thing, which you haven't touched on, I mentioned it on Twitter the other day, and I can't even remember if we talked about this. I can't even remember the last time we podcasted together.
Oh, you can't remember because you were a little bit distracted. You had a guest right
baby
next to you that was a little bit more important than me, Frank.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the other thing that gives me pause, and I'm fascinated to see how this is addressed at the press conferences. I mean, Adrian Griffin, so some of the background here, right? He was married to his ex-wife from 1996 to 2015. AJ Griffin, who I'm sure Bucks fans probably remember, had at least one really good game against the Bucks. He was a rookie with the Hawks last year, really talented young player, first round pick, went to Duke. He also has a daughter who I believe also plays college basketball. In 2020, so while he was assistant with the Raptors, his wife posted to social media. So this was not a criminal complaint from anything that I've seen, but it was a, you know, basically put him on blast, to say the least, accusing him of, you know, domestic violence while she was pregnant. You know, obviously this is going back, you know, decades, literally, like throughout their history together, right? They were married for almost 20 years. And 5 years after they get divorced, she basically accuses him of domestic violence, of giving her STDs from extramarital affairs, from not supporting her and the kids with, you know, child support payments, things like that. You know, extremely explosive stuff, right? Like, if this stuff is true, he has no business being hired to be the head coach of this team, right? He, you know, as you would expect, denied it. What the Raptors did to look into this, I have no idea. I never got a sense of the Raptors doing an exhaustive investigation, let's say. He had already been there a number of years when this happened. Obviously, they, you know, him and his lawyers portrayed this as, you know, the jilted ex-wife trying to basically sabotage him. A year later, he files a defamation lawsuit against his ex-wife in 2021. And then I believe that eventually was dropped. Again, at this point, I tried to do my best to internet research. I'm not sure if that was settled or what it might have happened. But, you know, again, this is stuff that it's not so much that we need, you know, a reporter to ask Adrian Griffin, like, so did you beat your wife? You know, I mean, you know, he's already answered that. We know what his answer is to that question. I think probably, and again, it's a he said, she said thing, unless there's other evidence that we haven't been made aware of. I think the interesting question is really to John Horst and the Bucks ownership group, which is, what did you do to look into this type of complaint? Because it's a serious complaint. And you hired, you know, Wes Edens, obviously Mark Lazary's gone, but this ownership group hired Jason Kidd in spite of, I mean, he was a convicted domestic abuser when they hired him to be the first head coach that this organization hired. So to be hiring another person who has, again, allegations, this is not a Jason Kidd situation where he's been convicted of anything, but I mean, it's smoke. Like, I would hope that you would do due diligence to understand the background of this and look into it rather than just saying like, ah, well, the Raptors didn't care. And people like him. He's a good guy, right? Like, well, yeah, a lot of guys who do really bad things seem like good dudes, you know, in their office. So so that absolutely would give me pause, because I mean, we've talked about it, right? Whether it's coaches, players, et cetera, when people are accused of things that, you know, are of this nature, you don't want to root for them. I mean, your mileage may vary. Some people may not care. As long as you can put a ball in the basket or, you know, draw out the right plays, you may not care what these people are like off the floor. I certainly wouldn't want to associate my team with a player or coach that did the kinds of things that he was accused of. But again, at this point, they're accusations. And I think the most interesting question to me is not like, did you do it or not? Because we know he's already said, no, I didn't do it. It's, you know, lies, et cetera. Question to me is like, well, what did the Bucks do to try to verify his side of the story? Or did they literally just look the other way and say like, no one's going to care. It'll blow over. Right. So, so anyway, so that's just another kind of component of the risk inherent in all of this. And, you know, again, we're just, you know, basically people from the outside. We have no idea what the truth is with this. But it's definitely, you know, one more thing. When you don't know much about an assistant coach, and that's one of the things that's out there in the ether, it absolutely gave me pause, and certainly a reason why I was hoping that somebody else would come out of, I was hoping somebody else would ace the final tests, and, you know, whether it be Nick Nurse or Kenny Atkinson, just because it's an ugly thing to kind of be hanging over this process.
As you pointed to, it will be fascinating when they eventually have an introductory press conference, because I do have no doubt that it's going to come up. So I've done the same reading you have. You've summarized that well in terms of literally what we can know at this point in time. So I've seen it a little bit from Bucks fans, certainly on social media and mentioning on the YouTube comments. So I think it's absolutely fair to bring that up. I think one of the other big questions that we're going to find out, or we're going to be asking about over the next few weeks, is the assistant coaches. And I know that this is all going to be speculation, but we've already seen some names parting ways with the franchise, certainly on social media, and some Twitter accounts that I didn't know existed. So let's get to the assistant coaches and what that might look like next, and perhaps whether some new faces will be good again for this franchise in what is obviously going to be an off-season of change. So we'll get to that next after we talk about our friends at Bird Dogs. Now, it's very warm where I am right now in Connecticut, certainly for me anyway. And so I'm a shorts guy, and Bird Dog shorts are getting the job done for me. And there's three things that I'm looking for when I'm buying clothes: the fit, the comfort, and the versatility, Frank, because I like to wear shorts. Like, if I'm going out for a walk, shorts, run, shorts, obviously. But if I'm even going to the pub for a few beers, shorts. And if you can wear them in all these different settings, first date for me, shorts. And look... And listen, I've definitely been told before that I dress too casual for a first date. There's no doubt about that. But if you're wearing Bird Dogs, you don't have to worry about it, because they look really nice as well. And it looks like you are dressed for the occasion. So make sure you go to Bird Dogs, because they've got everything you need. If you're not a shorts guy, you want to hide the pins, then you can go with the long pants as well. So there's no need to worry about that. But go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNBA. And when you enter promo code LockedOnNBA, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. That's code LockedOnNBA at birddogs.com/LockedOnNBA. And when you're going out on that first date with that Bird Dogs gear on and it goes well, you can thank me later.
Kane, did you say hide the pins? Is that
yeah,
what you just
hide
said?
The pins. Hide the pins.
Is pins, are those legs or are those something else?
No legs.
Okay.
The left and
okay.
right.
Just wanted to make sure. Just wanted to make sure I caught that correctly.
Fair clarification. I'm back in the US. There's definitely been some things I've said over the last few weeks that have raised some eyebrows, and I had to explain myself pretty well. But we've got a
So far, ESPN HR has not put you on blast yet. So hopefully keep your head down and make it through these next couple of weeks.
As of 4 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, the 27th of May, I'm still employed. That's hopefully still going to be the case over the next few weeks. The assistant coaches. So I think, you know, with Charles Lee, that's been such a big part of this coaching staff for a while, still in the mix for Detroit. We'll see what happens there. And I would have to imagine, even if Charles Lee does get the job in Detroit, and I know there's been talk about Kevin Ollie and all those types of things, but if Charles Lee did get the job in Detroit, I have to imagine he's taken a few familiar faces with him to Detroit, just like Darvin Ham did with the Lakers as well. Taylor Jenkins, obviously, with Memphis. So there's been change, but there's been familiar faces. So as much as we talk about Adrian Griffin, I am curious to see who he brings along and whether they are going to follow this trend of a former head coach, really experienced guy. You talk about Griffin being, from what we know, a defensive-minded coach, whether he has some sort of offensive mind alongside him. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think Kenny Atkinson is coming to be the lead assistant, but we have seen him play that kind of role with other franchises.
Well, this was one of the – I don't know if I saw anyone suggest this, but, like, I mean, if you hired Nick Nurse, like, Adrian Griffin was – in the running
maybe
for
come.
The Toronto job, but like if he doesn't, yeah, I mean, if Adrian Griffin hadn't gotten the Toronto head coaching job, I mean I'm guessing he's not getting another head coaching job. Like, don't you get him anyway potentially as the lead assistant for at least a year or two while he's biding his time? So I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just sort of the sort of like have your cake and eat it too type option. I think you know, one thing I'm always hesitant that, and we've talked about Charles Lee, like it's so hard like to know like what do these people look like when they're kind of their own man as a head coach. You know, maybe obviously you're better off, it could be that you're better off with Adrian Griffin as the head coach and not Nick Nurse with Adrian Griffin as the assistant coach. We'll never know because we're only going to see one version of the world here. You know, Adrian Griffin's not going to have a whole lot of time to kind of, you know, bide his time and figure out the ropes of being a head coach in the NBA. Like, you know, the expectations that he come in and figure out pretty quickly. And, you know, I think his profile wise, I don't know that his personality is anything like Ime Udoka. But I kind of was thinking of him as a little bit in that way, in that, you know, Ime Udoka was an assistant for quite a while. I don't think he was an assistant as long as Adrian Griffin was an assistant, but, you know, both guys sort of put in their time as assistants, did at least a couple different kind of extended stops as assistants. You know, Udoka started with the Spurs. And so they kind of had their formative years as assistants and then, you know, get their chance to be a head coach with a very talented team, right? Boston for Ime Udoka and now Adrian Griffin for the Bucks. We saw with Udoka, right? I mean, he ends up leading that team to the finals. They nearly win an NBA championship. But the first half of the year was rough. He was pretty confrontational as far as coaches go, right? I mean, like, he was calling people out in the media, like, the first half of the season. That was shades of George Karl, maybe a little bit. But ultimately kind of figured it out. And, you know, obviously a very strange situation that led to him ultimately getting fired. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how quickly, you know, Adrian Griffin can kind of get up to speed. And, I don't know. Do you have any of the, I'm curious, Kane, do you have any of the assistant coach, maybe if you have a chance, my computer's not on right now, but if you have like the roster of Raptors assistants available from last year, might be interesting because again, I think you probably as well expect Nick Nurse is going to land in either Philly or Phoenix. So presumably some of that group probably follows to that new destination of Nick Nurse. But I agree with you. I mean, there's a good chance that you'd expect at least maybe a couple of the names that Adrian Griffin was used to working with these past years in Toronto potentially does follow him to Milwaukee. Something tells me Scott Skiles, his former head coach in Milwaukee, will not be on his staff. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, wouldn't be shocking certainly if perhaps some of like the development guys that have been here in Milwaukee potentially get retained. Again, you don't expect the majority of a staff to get carried over or anything like that. But, you know, we've seen in the past guys sometimes do kind of carry over. But anyway, I don't know if you were able to dig that up, Kane, while I was just rambling.
Yep, no, fantastic Wi-Fi here at the hotel. And by the way, Locked On Bucks own Blaine Miller. Well, hopefully he's sticks with the Bucks because we want to drag him back on the podcast at some time. So if we go through the Toronto Raptors assistant coaches from last year, there is actually some familiar names on this list. Nate Bjorkgren of Indiana Pacers fame. So he was on the Raptors coaching staff there. Earl Watson, another coach that has actually had a short stint as a head coach in the NBA. And then one that I'm not sure too many people are going to be too familiar with, but I certainly am, Trevor Gleason, who won a whole handful of NBL championships with the Perth Wildcats and now has been in Toronto the last couple of years. And from what I understand, I think he's planning on trying to stay around the NBA. So maybe an Aussie on the coaching staff. Let's get Trevor Gleason out to Milwaukee. I would be very happy with that. So I'm sure we'd be able to drag him on this podcast. So a few names at least that have had a chunk of experience at the NBA level.
We got to get Chase Buford back in Milwaukee too, right? Chase won the NBL title, right? He's likely coming back to the NBA, right? We'll give a shout out to the former Herd coach who I think Chase was with the Bucks during that title run, right? Like I think the G League guys spent, you know, basically were kind of auxiliary assistants to the team during the playoffs that year as well.
There's room for selfishness, and I would love it if Chase could find his way back to Milwaukee. That would make me very, very, very happy. So, yeah, that would be good. Speaking of guys that have pedigree of winning in the family, that's for sure there with Chase. Hey, any last thoughts before we wrap this up in terms of the news we've heard today?
I mean, I think we touched on like the Giannis piece, right? I don't think I would not expect, even if this was quote unquote Giannis's guy, that there's some explicit, you know, tie of this to Giannis signing an extension. You know, I'm sure, you know, implicitly the organization views, you know, getting somebody that Giannis is happy with as helping their goal of retaining him for the long term. But I am curious. Yeah, I mean, I think that'll be another kind of question that has to be asked during the press conference. Whenever it happens with Adrian Griffin, is what did you and Giannis talk about in terms of his
Yeah.
role specifically, right? You know, if I was like trying to, I think there's two questions, right? There's the what do you think you should do with Giannis, in particular offensively, but also defensively, and then I think there's also the question of what does Giannis want to hear, right? Because I think if you're interviewing for this job, and he's got a vote and potentially, you know, I don't know what it is, right? Like, if John Horst, the owners, and Giannis are like the UN Security Council, like is Giannis the United States? Like what country is he in that whole mix? Greece isn't on the UN Security Council, so he's got to pick a different one. But yeah, like what kind of veto power does he have, right? So what would you actually want to do? And yeah, you guys touched on that the other day, versus what did Adrian Griffin sell him on? And again, maybe it wasn't even really about play style. Maybe it was more just about personality and like running the team and, you know, that kind of stuff, right? I mean, there's obviously lots of dimensions to what sort of a coach has to do in terms of running an organization, running a team. I'm curious. I feel like if you put me in the shoes, right, of interviewing for the head coaching job, which, you know, let's hope we don't get into tactics or anything detailed, because Lord knows I'm not an NBA head coach candidate. But I feel like if I was trying to appeal to Giannis, I would say, like, I want to put you on the ball more defensively. I want to like put you in more of those matchups so that you're not just the off-ball rover type guy, but I want to use you more directly in actions as a primary defender and use you that way. I think that's probably something that I would think about defensively, especially in light of what we saw in this playoff exit, really in both of the times they lost to the Heat, you know, some of the arguments there. And then I think offensively, I don't know. I mean, I think the hardest job you touched on, I mean, Giannis' stubbornness is one of his greatest strengths. It's one of the reasons why he's gotten to this incredible place in his life and his career, is that sort of just doggedness, determinist, determined kind of mindset he has. But that said, is Adrian Griffin going to come in and tell him to stop shooting pull-up three-pointers? Is Adrian Griffin going to tell him, like, put him with a new skills coach and tell him, like, quit freaking wasting all this time shooting free throws and just, like, get shots, get free throws up quickly because you're not good at them, the what you're doing now? I don't know, right? Like, Giannis may have too – maybe too stubborn, maybe has too big of an ego to give up on doing some of those kind of, like, glamour shots that we talk about, whether it's pull-up threes or turnaround jumpers, right? I think there's upside to kind of leading him to a better place. I'm sure Adrian Griffin didn't come in and tell him, like, I want to use you as a screener and less on the ball, because that's a delicate discussion to have, even though I agree with you and Justin that there's, you know, upside in finding the balance between those two things rather than always just having Giannis trying to initiate from the top, especially given some of his limitations as a shooter and, you know, his limited touch, you know, from that, like, 3 to 10 foot range and some of those things. So yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting presser, I think, for a number of reasons. You know, again, on the one hand, I don't think you can put too much into a press conference because, you know, I feel like the two coaches I think of as having the best press conferences in Milwaukee were Larry Drew and Larry Krystkowiak. And we know how those tenures ended up. So I feel like winning the press conference is nice, but not necessarily indicative of what's going to come thereafter. So, so we'll see. I mean, I think there's just obviously a ton of stuff to think about though. I mean, you know, what this means for Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez. Giannis obviously is the focal point. Again, we don't probably know enough about what Adrian Griffin wants to do to maybe speculate that much on quote unquote his system and things like that. But hopefully we'll kind of learn more and more here over the next couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll see that introductory press conference at some point soon.
Either way, we were waiting over the last few weeks to see when this news was going to drop. Saturday afternoon and ended up doing it. I remember the Bucks dropped some funny news. I can't even remember what it was, but it's not always in the prime time when the Bucks like to get their news out to the media, but worked out well for me and you today, Frank. So that's the main thing. Let's be honest. As I said, I've got no problem being a little bit selfish. So let us know what you think. Adrian Griffin, the assistant coaches, the meetings with Giannis, anything you're thinking about this hire, specifically on YouTube. Jump on, drop your comments and let us know. And then as more news comes to light and eventually an official announcement and then a press conference, obviously we're going to continue to cover it here on Locked On Bucks. So we appreciate you joining us on the weekend. We'll be back to start the week in a couple of days. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Hopefully it's as sunny where you are as it is me, and you can maybe chuck on the bird dog's clothes and go out and get a frothy for the weekend and enjoy yourself. We'll see you early next week.